Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, my beautiful listeners. This is Jude Albright, and I thank you for joining me for Love Your Addiction. I'm sure that you are all aware that everything on this planet has a life. Addictions have a life of their own, too. So what if addiction is not about what you do, but rather about who you are refusing to be, what you are denying yourself? Love Your Addiction provides a dialogue between you, the listener, and me, Jude Albright, your host. Its purpose is to expose truths so that you can see and hear and feel how to love your addiction for what it has shown you about you. I welcome you here today to see love in a different light. I'm here to show you ways to recover from the belief that there is something wrong with you, that addiction has been bad. I'm wondering how much of your life have you spent thinking about your wrongness? Well, what about your rightness? When I talk about loving your addiction, I mean appreciating it and being grateful for its experience, the experience of learning who you really are. That is a magnificent, powerful being. By first experiencing who you are not, the addict. Well, today, Sharon Ann Wyckoff was once more going to join me to talk about her way of transforming your world, your life of addiction. And she was calling it the experiential path. Well, Sharon is in her own experience right now. I have been talking with her over the weekend, and I have been well aware that she has been sitting with a friend who was in her dying process. And about a half an hour ago, Sharon contacted me to let me know that it really is happening right now and that she will not be able to appear on the show today. So, I told you at the beginning of the show that I thought you were all aware that everything on this planet has a life, that addictions had a life of their own. Well, most of the things on this planet also have a death. And because everything is energy, and energy really doesn't know distance, therefore, through our group intention, all of us listening, and all of you who are going to listen at a later date, we can send loving energy to Sharon and her friend who is in her dying process. So if that resonates with you, and if you are willing to be compassionate and send your love, please do so now, as I am going to do. You can join us in the chat room, which you can access at the bottom of your listening page, or I'd love it if you called in at 516-453-9181 with your questions and insights. We're all in this together, and I'm sure that each of you desires peace and joy and love and abundance in your life. So what do you say? Let's get each other there. Let's get rid of our depressions and our hatreds and our angers, despair and lack, all of which, by the way, do contribute to addictions. I'm not out to try and change anyone. I am aware that only you can change you. I am simply the messenger of truths for you, which bring you new possibilities for a life of ease, joy, and fulfillment. I told you that Sharon was going to be touching on experiences and how the experiential situation can add to an addiction, can aid it, can release it. So I thought I would take this opportunity during this program to really talk about addictions and some of the experiential effects of addictions. And please know that when I'm talking about addictions, I am defining an addiction as a distraction, a disconnection from our authentic self. And our authentic self is our true spiritual beingness. It is powerful and great and magnificent and wonderful. And because so many of us are afraid of experiencing the joy, the wonder, the pleasure that this world can bring us, we sedate ourselves with distractions. We run from ourselves. Now, please know this is not a judgment. This is learned behavior. And we learn this when we are little people. Some of us learn it in the womb when we pick up our mother's feelings about herself and how maybe she really didn't want to conceive us, or how she and Dad, she doesn't like Dad and she'd like to leave him. Or when we're young children or toddlers and we get that false misperception that there is something wrong with us. Maybe somebody tells us we're too stupid or too ugly or that we can't do something, and we internalize that. And because we have that feeling internally and it's there, we don't get rid of it. We actually, some of us, embrace it and believe it. Because of that, it bothers us as we grow. And as we grow older, addictions work. Distractions work. We shut down those real feelings rather than processing them. Because when we process those feelings of low self-worth that almost every single one of us comes in contact with on this planet, when we process them, we open up to who we really can be. We open up to our abundance and our joy. So let's look at what I'm not talking about when I talk about addictions. I am not talking about the homeless bum who sits on a bench at the bus stop drinking his bottle of cheap wine. That's what many of us think is an addiction. I'm not talking about the drunken pole dancer at a gentleman's club. And I'm not talking about the high person walking the streets yelling loudly to herself and others. Yeah, these people are late-stage addicts, and they're very easily recognizable. But today, I want to talk about and focus on everyday people. You, your friends, your neighbors, and their distractions. Distractions that really are addictions. So, I would like to share several examples. I am talking about the stay-at-home mom who starts tasting her wine as she begins making dinner around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and she continues her tasting throughout the rest of the day. Many of us would not look at that as an addict. We would look at that as somebody who is just, and I use the word tasting, just sipping wine graciously. And I'll make more comments on that after I talk about more of the examples. I am talking about the socialite who lives her life by shopping. Shopping is pleasurable to her. It's what makes her feel good, so she would tell us. I'm also talking about the dad who comes home and parks himself in front of the TV, watching all the sports he can take in, and then fills his weekend with golf outings and any other sporting events that he can, rather than being with his kids and his family. I've given you three examples so far of, quote, regular people, of you maybe, of your friends, of your neighbors. I'm also talking about the kids who are texting morning, noon, and night, and now who are back at school, many of them, having problems concentrating at school and doing schoolwork. I'm also talking about the businessmen and women who work 60, 70, 80 hours a week, thinking that their work is so necessary. And finally, I'm talking about someone who concentrates on her friend's problems and continually worries about that friend rather than focusing on her own life, not allowing her own feelings to surface. The six examples that I just gave you are examples of addiction. But because we have been so programmed to believe they are not, and to believe these are normal actions, most of us are not willing to release that denial to see that we are sedating ourselves for whatever reason. Yeah, addiction is a distraction. I'm wondering, how are you distracting yourself? And how are you pretending that it's not an addiction? Are you telling yourself that shopping makes you feel good and makes you look good, and therefore people in the community respect you? Are you telling yourself that by sipping on wine as you start dinner, it helps you relax and you're better able to take care of your kids? Because if you are, that is crazy. Someone who is drinking wine all afternoon is much less capable of a mother than a mother who is truly grounded in reality. If you are the businessman or the businesswoman who we would term a workaholic, putting in 60, 70, 80 hours a week, taking work home, thinking you are the only one that can do it, and this is the way to run your big company, I'm asking you, is that really honoring you, or are you running and distracting from your feelings of being not good enough? And the one that is particularly difficult for people to really identify is what we would call the codependent. And codependency is clearly an active addiction. And that is the person who concentrates on somebody else's issues and continually worries about them. This person makes up the excuse that by concentrating on somebody else, he or she is being kind and compassionate. Well, to a degree, that's correct. But focusing all your attention, waking up in the morning and thinking about this person and wondering how this person could live his or her life in a better fashion, that is not compassion. That is distraction, you distracting you from really feeling what you're feeling. And that feeling is usually, I'm not good enough. what I have really just explained is, to me, experience can equal compassion for ourselves. Now, what do I mean by that? And I ask you, how are you showing compassion for you? True compassion for yourself is caring for yourself, being responsible for your actions, letting go of any guilt or shame, accepting full responsibility for your behavior and not blaming anybody else for anything that's going on in your life. It is no judgment. It is accepting your experience because you are the creator of it. And true compassion or true experience is looking at the situation, whether you view it as positive or negative, and seeing what it has taught you. For example, earlier, I said it in a different way, but what I really said was, here on this planet, we learn what is by experiencing what is not. This is a planet of duality. So let's say we really, really want a wonderful, happy marriage. So we get married, and we really love the way our relationship is going. We love the way our partner treats us, the way our partner nourishes us, the way our partner takes responsibility for his or her actions and never blames us, never puts us down, never abuses us in any way whatsoever. Well, that's a wonderful experience. And I would say there are a lot of people on this planet who have not experienced their marriage as such. And I am one of those people. In my original first marriage, it was not loving. It was abusive emotionally and actually physically at the end. Now, am I upset that I was part of creating that relationship? Absolutely not. Oh, at the end when I decided that I was going to get a divorce, sure, I was pissed off. I thought I was pissed off at him, but in actuality, I was really pissed off at me for the choices that I had made getting into this kind of a relationship. But did I learn something? Did this experience teach me compassion for myself? Oh, you bet it did. Would I accept some of those behaviors today from a partner? Absolutely not. But I chose to experience what I didn't want so that I now know what I do want. I'm asking you again, how are you showing compassion for yourself? What experiences have you created? What addictions, what distractions have you created to show you what you don't really want, who you really are not, so that you can step out of your denial and embrace who you really are? I know you are a loving, grand being. That is my message to you. I have lived that experience, and I'm asking you, how can you be more compassionate, and how can you be more loving to you? Because when you are more loving to you, it spills out in every area of your life, and you become more loving to everybody else and everything else, which attracts to you more love, more joy, and more abundance. we've all heard the expression that God works in mysterious ways. Well, you don't have to call it God. You can call it whatever word you choose for the power behind the power behind us. I'd like to share with you a little story that I have shared before, but I feel that it's very appropriate in what we are talking about now, the experiential part of addictions. The only survivor of a shipwreck washed up on a small, uninhabited island. He prayed feverishly for God to rescue him, and every day he scanned the horizon for help. But there didn't seem to be any that was coming. Exhausted and depressed, he eventually managed to build a little hut out of driftwood that protected him from the elements, and he could store a few of the possessions that he was able to rescue. But then, one day, after he was scavenging for food for what seemed like the millionth time to him, he arrived to his little hut to find that his hut was in flames, with smoke rolling up to the sky. "Oh, my God," he said, "the worst has happened. I've lost everything." And he was stung with grief and anger, and he screamed out, "God, how could you do this to me?" Well, early the next day, however, he was awakened by the sound of a ship that was approaching the island. It had come to rescue him. The weary man said to his rescuers, "How did you know I was here?" "Well," they replied, "we saw your smoke signal." Interesting story, right? Well, God does work in mysterious ways, but what if we always have to have faith in God's plan for us? And what if the experience that we have created in our life needs to provide compassion for us? Yes, we can help people who are still in denial in their addictions. And help very often can be welcomed. And interventions work very well much of the time. But I would like to caution everybody, please, that you cannot control what you did not create. And if you did not create another's addiction, because obviously he or she created his or her addiction, then you can't control it. And sometimes people refuse to get help. And that's when it is our responsibility, as the loving beings that we are, to allow the other person to experience what it is that he or she is attempting to experience through his or her own addiction. Do we like that answer? Absolutely not. We like to control things. We've been taught that we can control things. My friends, the only thing that we can control is ourselves, our actions. So I'm asking you, what if being addicted is not about what you do, but rather about who you are refusing to be? I'm wondering, what can you now be to create your healthy, loving lifestyle? And possibly be the lover for the addict whom you love. For more answers, you can reach me at judealbright.com, which, by the way, is under construction right now, so you really can't reach me there probably for another 2 weeks. But I can be reached at beingrecovered.net, BEINGRECOVERED.net. We are energetic beings, and with our emotions and thoughts, and as the group that we are, we create the things that happen on this planet. I asked you at the beginning of the show to send love to Sharon Wyckoff and her friend who is in her dying process. And I'm now asking you if you would take this opportunity to join me in sending love, loving energy to all the addicted, distracted people on this planet and their loved ones who are in pain. What is truth? The sight of truth awakens and stirs us. The voice of truth repeatedly echoes awareness in us. The smell of truth sweetly comforts us. The taste of truth refreshingly nourishes us. And the feeling of truth warmly embraces us. Our next show will air on September 3rd. Please remind yourself to stay wrapped in your truth and your love, remembering the true, magnificent, powerful, beautiful, beautiful you. And please keep asking yourself, how can I be more loving? I send you my love. Take care. Bye.